I don't know about anybody else, but I have enjoyed worship this morning. Amen? I'm telling you, if you can't have fun at church, I just don't know where you can have fun at. Amen? I mean, listen, this is good stuff this morning. I want to invite you to follow along with me this morning in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew in the 7th chapter. We want to look at one verse this morning there. We've been preaching through this Sermon on the Mount. Greatest sermon ever preached. Not only because of the content of it, but because of the one who preached it, right? Jesus himself. One of the challenges about preaching through a series like this, preaching just verse by verse through something like the Sermon on the Mount, is you have to deal with each verse. And the verse that we're going to deal with in context this morning can be somewhat challenging to understand sometimes, difficult to understand exactly what Jesus is talking about. And so as we went last week, we talked about the fact that, you know, we looked at those verses about judging, how we're to judge or not to judge, those kind of things. But so this morning we come to this verse and just we really don't have an option. We got to deal with it, right? And so we're gonna tackle this and we're gonna kind of dissect this sentence. I don't know if any of you enjoyed. Remember when you were in school and you had to dissect sentences? I was not. I know this is gonna come as a shock, but I was not an English major. Okay, I learned how to butcher the English language, but I did not learn how to master it. Okay, my daughter is an English major, and she would come home when she was like fourth or fifth grade saying, "Dad, we learned how to dissect sentences today. Write a sentence so I can dissect it." And I'd write it, and she'd go, "It's not even a complete sentence, Dad." You know, so. Nevertheless, we're going to take this. We're going to kind of look at it this morning in its fullness here. And so follow along with me in Matthew chapter 7 in the 6th verse. "Do not give what is holy to dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces." So this morning we're going to talk about dogs, hogs, and holy things. That ought to be helpful, right? Probably never thought you'd come to church and learn about dogs and hogs. And maybe you would hope to learn about some holy things, right? But hogs and dogs this morning. How does all of this give us understanding God's Word? I remember one day I had been given a name of someone that to go visit. And I went to this house, and little house, and the had a chain link fence around it, all the way around the front yard, came all the way out to the sidewalk. And so when you pulled over on the side of the road, you were just like right there. And so I pulled over and I got out, and there was a guy in the yard, and there was this dog in the yard running around barking, you know, crazy and everything. And I asked him, I said, "Are you so-and-so?" He said, no, they're in the house. Come on in." And I stood there at the gate and I said, "Does the dog bite?" And he said, "Oh, no, he'll just bark at you." And I thought, well, good. And so I opened the gate and went on in, and the dog left me alone. And I got to the door, and the guy had already kind of walked ahead of me into the house. And I got to the door, and he had reached another door into another room. And as he went through that room, this huge Rottweiler come out. He said, "Now that one might." And the dog came running up to me. And the guy called the dog by name and told him, "Sit and be still." And the dog didn't sit, but he did be still. And he stopped with his nose right here. And he began to growl. And this man left me alone with this dog to go back in this house that I knew was not that big. And he stayed for 3 days and 3 nights. And that dog never moved. And I knew right then, these people don't want to hear about Jesus. These people don't deserve to hear about Jesus. And I'm not telling them about Jesus. Right? Seriously. Man, sometimes we get in situations where the Spirit of God is just not there. Try our best as we will. Apart from the Spirit of God, we have no power, okay? So when we think about the context of this, I want you to think about this, first of all. understand the context of this verse. And to understand the context of this verse, we have to go back to last week, where we were in those first five verses where it says, judge not that you be not judged. He says, don't judge in this hypocritical fashion. Remember, last week, just kind of quick review, we talked about sinful judgment. We talked about self-judgment. We talked about the one supreme judgment. And so it wasn't that God was telling us not to judge, but He was telling us how to judge in a godly, righteous way. That we're not to judge unbelievers in that we are judging them to condemn them. Okay? That's God's job. Our job is to be a witness. And so this is critical in understanding this passage, because the basis of this verse is that we are to make judgments. We have to make judgment decisions. And how can we do that if Jesus doesn't allow us to judge? And so if we understand, well, yes, Jesus allows us to make judgments without really judging to condemn. It's a judgment in our mind, not a judgment from our mouth. It is that we make a judgment in our understanding of the situation that we find ourselves in and of the person that we're talking to. Okay? It helps us then in our witness. Okay? So let's consider this context of this. When we understand what Jesus is really addressing here, we never want to be the kind of hypocritical judge that Jesus condemns. Folks, think about it. He says here in this text, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before the swine. When he talks about those things that are holy, he's making a reference. It's talking about being in Leviticus reading and in Exodus, and where God gave the laws to Moses about sacrificing the lambs and the goats and the bulls to God. And he's saying that a priest would never take what has been sacrificed and offered and given to God as holy. He would never take that and then go out and just throw it on the streets to the dogs. It's holy. It's to be addressed and handled and considered serious before God. And so when we think about those things that are holy to God, then we need to be cautious in how we treat those things and how we handle those things. So again, it is these pearls. He talks about the pearls here. It's something that's special. Pearls are very valuable. They're white, right? They're clean, they're pure, all these kind of things. So these pearls are the precious things of God. We go out in the world and we try to be a witness. We try to show the love of Christ to God, to people. We share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the lost world, right? But there's those precious things of God. There's some doctrinal truths. There's some things that you and I try to live by in our life before God. And those are some of the things maybe that we don't necessarily discuss or to present or try to push off on someone else. Listen, Jesus never forces himself on other people. He invites people to come to him, but he never forces himself on others. Here's a verse in Matthew 21 in verse 23. Jesus is talking here with the religious leaders, and they're trying to trap him. And he says, now when he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching, and he said, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? They're questioning his authority, who he is, what he is. But Jesus answered and said to them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. And they said, the baptism of John. He uses this as a challenge to them, the baptism of John. Where was it from? Did it come from heaven or did it come from men? And so they began to kind of discuss among themselves. And they said, wait a minute, we're kind of in a bind here. Because if we say he's from heaven, then he'll say to us, why didn't you believe him? Right? And then he says, but if we say he's from men, we know all these people have heard and believed what John has said. And they followed John and they've been baptized by John. And so if we say he's just a man, that is really nothing significant to it, this crowd is going to get on us. And so they said, we don't know. We don't know where he came from. And he said, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Notice the significance of this. They're wanting to know, are you really who you say you are? Are you really, truly the Son of God? And Jesus says, do you really want to know? Or are you just trying to debate and argue something? And when they couldn't answer him, he said, you know what? I'm not telling you where I get my authority. I'm not telling you who I really am. I'm not really going to prove to you who I am. Because you really don't want to know. You know, there's people in the world who just want to argue about Jesus. They don't really want to believe Jesus. Okay? There's another example in Scripture when you go over in Luke chapter 23. Jesus is brought before Herod. Herod questions him. And the Bible says that Jesus never responded to Herod. Pilate asked Jesus, are you really who you say you are? And Jesus says, I am. I am the king. I am the king of the Jews. He responded to Pilate. But with Herod, he knew that Herod's desire was to do nothing but to despise the kingdom of God and the work of God. And so Jesus refused to respond to him. There's another passage there, Matthew, where a rich young ruler comes to Jesus and he says, oh, good teacher. He says, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus said, well, you know the law. And he said, oh, I know all those laws. And he said, I've kept all of them. And Jesus said, here's this one thing you lack. Go sell everything you have, give to the poor, and then come follow me. And the Bible says that the man went away sad because he had great possessions. You know what Jesus did after he walked away? Jesus didn't go, hey, wait a minute. Look, if you'll just follow me, I tell you what, we'll renegotiate. You don't have to sell everything, just sell part of it. That's not what Jesus did he? How did Jesus respond? Jesus let the man walk away. Jesus said, you know, obviously the man's intentions were not pure, the man's intentions were not real, and so Jesus let the man walk away. I think about Paul, when Paul refused to argue with people. Here's another example in Acts chapter 13. Acts in the 13th chapter. Paul is confronted on the Sabbath. It says, on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. And contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it, and listen, we're not judging you. You have judged yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Behold, we turn and go to the Gentiles. See, it's not necessarily that we're judging, but we've made a judgment. Hey, this person's really not listening. This person really doesn't want to receive the things of God. And so when they reject the word of God, it's not our job to sit there and try to debate, argue, and convince them. We're just to be a witness. We can't force it on them. And so that's really kind of the context of what Jesus is really talking about here in this passage. I think about the disciples when they were sent out. Jesus told them, he says, go out there and you share. And he says, and if they reject you, he says, knock the dust off your feet. Keep moving. You ever been there? And I've been in those places before. Man, where people just really didn't care about the word of God and they just reject. There's an old evangelist friend, Brother Mickey, and he introduced me to him. And I remember the very first time that I ever met him, I went to a church in a revival that he was in. And he had a little camper that he pulled around behind his truck. He would stay in out beside the church there. And we went out there and sat in that little camper with him after church that night. And there was a stack of letters. It must have been this tall. Letters that he had written to churches where he had been in revival. And he was writing back to those churches, encouraging them to continue on. And I thought, man, it's like sitting in the presence of Paul, you know? Like he's been to these churches and he's writing letters back to them, man. Just such a man of God. I heard later that he went to a church and he got there and started revival on a Sunday night. And after the service that night, he went back to his camper again. And wasn't long, there were some men in the church came and they told him, they said, brother, look, we appreciate you coming. But our folks just really don't like your preaching. And we're going to go ahead and pay you. You can stay the night, but we're not going to have services the rest of the week. And he said, that's okay. He said, I don't need your pay. God's taking care of me. And he said, I sure don't need to stay here tonight. And he unhooked everything from his camper, got his truck. Man, he drove out of that place and got out on the road and stopped. Got out of his truck, took his shoes off, and just started walking around the edge of that property, just knocking the dust off his feet and praying. I'm telling you, man, listen, there's so much of what goes on in the house of God that has absolutely nothing to do with God. And man, we wonder. We wonder why we don't have revival in the church today. And so, again, it's in this context. It makes no sense to debate with an atheist. They don't believe. And they're trying to tell you why they don't believe. I've been to some of these debates, you know, a seminary. We go down there and we listen to these people that debate all this stuff with these atheists. And I'm sitting there thinking, this makes no sense. We're wasting our time. God's not called us to debate. God's called us to be a witness. To share what the change that God has made in our own life. So understand the context of what we're talking about here, okay? Now, then we have to understand the character of these people. He's talking about individuals, and let's be honest, it's not flattering when somebody calls you a dog or a hulk, right? I've already had several people ask me about the picture that Jeannie put on the front of our worship guide this morning. It's a little insulting to think that we're a bunch of hogs, right? But he's speaking to the character of these individuals, okay? Pigs are typically were ate the lowest, they were the vilest. Think about it, the Jews would have nothing to do with hogs, you know, they wouldn't eat hogs for sure. Dogs in biblical times, they were scavengers. They consumed even human blood. In the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 14, talks about Jeroboam who dies there in the city, and the dogs came and licked up his blood. Baasha, Ahab, Jezebel, others, where the Bible talks about the dogs ate their ruins, you know. So dogs, these old stray dogs, they were known to growl and to tear apart. You know, they weren't like your little lap dogs you have, okay? We're not talking about those kind of dogs. We're talking about mongrels. We're talking about dogs that bite and destroy and tear up, okay? And so this is the image of the kind of people that Jesus is talking about. He's talking about dogs that signify people who spurn and oppose the Word of God. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 15, look at this verse this morning. Look how it describes those. It says, but outside, this is talking about outside of heaven, but outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. That's how he describes those that are outside in the family of God. Those that have despised the precious blood of Christ that's been shed to cleanse us of our sins. Again, these hogs, these swine, they denote those who trample on the precepts of God. The Bible talks about it over in Hebrews chapter 9. How much greater condemnation for those of us who have trampled the very blood of Christ. Okay? So we're talking, we're not just talking about the guy that's working in the cubicle next to you at work, okay? We're talking about those who vehemently oppose the things of God. Those who degrade and those who blaspheme the things of God. We're talking about those who have no desire to hear about the things of God. I know a man who, we'll just say Mr. Beal, who was not a believer, and it seemed like every preacher that came to town always went to his house. It was almost as though, man, if we could convince him to be a follower of Christ, man, what a notch in our belt it would be, right? And so when I went there, they told me about him and told me how all these preachers had gone by and thought that I might want to give it a shot. And so I went by several times. His wife was a sweet, dear, godly lady, member of the church. And so I would go by and I would visit and I would talk and I would share. And I really never talked about much about the things of God. I just wanted to get to know him and I wanted him to get to know me. Just wanted to be in to kind of build a relationship with him. And then I would ask him, "Hey, do you mind if I pray for you?" And he'd say, "Well, I don't believe, but you can pray." So I quit praying. He didn't believe. He didn't care. Now, I prayed for him. But he never came to know Christ. Listen, there's just folks out there that they don't believe. They don't want to believe. They're not going to believe. That these are the individuals that the Scripture's talking about here. And it's difficult. We're going to get there. I'm going to help you out this morning, okay? I'm not going to leave you in the ditch, okay? So keep tracking with me here this morning. We're talking about those who have just turned their back on God. See, it's one thing that we can learn in this passage. It's not about just unbelievers in general. It's about those that have become so hard-hearted. There's been people in the past who feel that Jesus was, just some made-up mythical figure. And there's nothing we can do that's going to convince them otherwise. And so these are the ones who treat the gospel with scorn and contempt. They treat God's people the same way. It's not just that they treat God that way, but they treat the things of God and the people of God the same way. Notice what he says here. Not only that we understand the character of these people, but then he says understand the caution that Jesus is giving here. He says in this verse, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. This can be spiritually challenging and spiritually dangerous for us. When we're dealing with people who have taken the truth of God's word and turned it and blasphemed it and made it a vile thing. Years ago, before I was pastoring, was in a church there in Shreveport, and we had a guy that was preaching there in a mission conference, and he was with our home mission board, now our North American mission board, out in Utah, and he was out there witnessing in the Mormon community, and so he told us, he said, "I want you to come back tonight," and he said, "I'm going to share with you word for word how you are to respond and how you witness to a Mormon when they come to your door." And so, man, I got me a paper and I got me a pen and I came to church that night and I was ready to take notes, Miss Mary. And so I got in there and he said, "Here's what you do." He said, "When they knock on the door and you answer the door and they introduce themselves and tell you they're from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, you say this. Write this down." I said, "Man, I'm ready, right? My name is Bill Wright. I am a member at Calvary Baptist Church." And close the door. Close the door. I thought, is that all? I didn't have to write that down. I can remember that. He said, "Here's the thing. They know more about what they believe than what you know about what you believe. And they'll have you so confused and so messed up that they can do real damage to your soul." That's what's at stake here, okay? It's the truth of God's word that we're dealing with. It's the truth of God's word that's precious. That's the pearls. That's those things that are divine. That's those things that are holy. And if we're not prepared, if we're not equipped, we don't understand how serious it can be to be in a conversation with somebody that doesn't believe the things of God, we ourselves can be led astray. We ourselves can be destroyed. And so he gives us caution here. He gives us caution. Here's a verse in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Listen, I just always believe. People say, "Why do you use so much scripture?" Listen, I want you to understand, this isn't just Bill Wright. This is what the Bible says about the Bible, okay? The best way of interpreting scripture is to let scripture interpret itself. And so in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 2, it says this. What? Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of mutilation. Paul understands the seriousness of this, that we protect ourselves. Here's a couple of other verses in Proverbs chapter 9, Proverbs in the 9th chapter. Look what it says in verse 7. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. And this says in verse 8, and do not correct a scoffer lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Man, when we're dealing with people, we need to understand who it is that we're dealing with. You know, Mom always said, don't argue with the fool, because people that are watching won't figure out which one of you is the fool, right? So we have to be careful about who we talk to and how we talk, that conversation. Okay, here's another good word in Proverbs. Proverbs 16, verse 22 says, understanding is a wellspring of life to him who has it, but the correction of fools is folly. He's saying you're wasting your time. If the person's not willing to listen, then you're wasting your time to speak. There's a lot of folks today who aren't willing to listen. When I was getting ready to leave Shreveport to go to seminary, I asked my pastor, I said, Brother Steph, I said, if you could only tell me one thing before I leave, what would you tell me? And he looked at me square in the eyes and he said, are you going to listen? And I said, well, yes, sir, I'm asking. I would listen. He said, yeah, but everybody that asks don't always listen. There's some truth in that, right? There's some folks today that need some advice. There's some folks today that need instruction. But guess what? They wouldn't listen to it if you gave it to them. So we're wasting our time when we do. Okay, here's another last verse in Proverbs 23, verse 9. It says, do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. And then in Proverbs 26 and verse 4, it says this. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. You get it? Over and over and over and over again, God's word instructs us. Be careful who we talk to, how we talk to them, because it could do you more damage than it could them good. So he gives us this word of caution, all right? So, I told you I wasn't going to leave you in the ditch this morning. So let's get an understanding this morning then of our concern for these people. You say, but preacher, if they're not believers, if they don't know Jesus, and if they haven't come to the saving knowledge of Jesus, what do we do then? We can't just turn our back on them, right? We can't just leave them in the ditch, right? We got to do something. Isn't that what we're called for? I mean, as children of God, we're called to be a witness. We're called to seek and to save that which is lost. In fact, in Luke chapter 19, isn't that what the Scripture says? Look at that verse this morning. It says, for the Son of Man is coming to seek and to save that which is lost, right? In John 3:16, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. How do we reconcile Luke 19:10 and John 3:16 with Matthew 7 verse 6? How do we reconcile that? How do we deal with that in our own life? Listen, we need to be careful that we don't just too readily mark them off as being a dog, cast them out as being a swine, okay? It's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about just unbelievers in general. We're talking about those people who we've shared with, maybe we've talked to, maybe we've overheard them, and we just know, hey, that person's really not interested in what I'm trying to share with. So what do? Well, we pray for them. We can certainly pray for them, amen? To pray for them. Jesus tells a parable about a sower who went out and sowed seeds. And the Bible says that some of that seed fell on hard ground. Birds came by and ate it and it was gone. Some of that seed fell down in the cracks between the rocks. And it sprung up a little bit, but didn't take much, and then it just kind of withered away. Some of it fell on some ground, and it started growing, but along with it grew some briars and some thorns, and it choked out that. But then he said some of that seed fell on good soil. And it took root and it grew and it produced fruit. 30 and 60 and 100. And what you and I have to understand this morning is when we're sowing the seed, sometimes it falls on hard ground. Sometimes it gets choked out. Sometimes it just doesn't take deep root. But sometimes it falls on good soil. I'm not a farmer, but I've worked in the garden. And I found this out. Good soil doesn't happen by chance. It requires somebody to go out there and work it. It requires somebody to prepare it, to break it up. And so if we want that seed to fall on that hard soil, we got to do some plowing. And the best way to plow up that old hard soil is to pray for it. Pray that God would soften their heart, that God would change them. Amen? Listen, I believe that God's in the business of changing pigs to holy. Hello? Paul got a vision from heaven one day. or Peter got a vision from heaven one day, right? That God, all the things that we thought were clean, God had made clean, right? God's in the miracle business, right? We can't change them, but God can. I believe more people got saved by Paul's praying than by Paul's preaching. Okay? And so you begin to pray for folks, and God will begin to soften their heart. And then maybe they won't listen to you, but maybe somebody else will come along in their life and they'll speak into their life and they'll listen to them. Have you ever found it amazing? Some of you that have kids, older kids, I've had this with my kids. My kids sat and listened to me preach Sunday in and Sunday out. And then they would go off to some youth camp, some conference or something. Some cool guy would get up there to preach. And he would say the same thing that I've been saying for 6 years. And they'd come home and they'd say, Dad, guess what that guy said? He's so cool. And he said this. And I'm like, I'll just knock you on the head, you know? I've been trying to tell you that for years and you wouldn't listen to me. Hey, listen, sometimes they won't listen to me. Sometimes they won't listen to you. But man, we pray that God would give them ears to hear. We pray for them. Man, we pray constantly for them. Listen, I think maybe Paul might have been a swine before that Damascus Road experience, right? I mean, he was out there killing other Christians. I think about guys like C.S. Lewis, who was atheist and began to read Scripture so that he could prove that it wasn't true and came to know Christ. People like Josh McDowell and others that have been converted. And so we pray for them. We pray for them. We don't give up. We don't give up. We may not be in the conversation with them every day, but man, we can still pray for them every day. And we pray for them this. We pray that God would open their eyes, that God would open their ears to recognize the truth of God's words, that He would soften their hearts to accept. We pray that God would put people in their path that they would listen to. We pray that God would intervene in a supernatural way. Sometimes people just don't listen to one another. Maybe it's a personality conflict. Sometimes, you know, we just have different personalities than other folks. That's why we have so many churches. That's why we have so many preachers, you know. Everybody doesn't like the same kind of worship. Everybody doesn't like the same kind of preaching. Everybody doesn't like the same. So everybody's kind of different, right? And so God uses those personalities and those differences sometimes to reach hearts that you and I can't reach. And so we're thankful. Listen, I'm thankful that my kid went to some conference and finally listened to some cool guy say the same thing that I was saying, and he got it, right? That'd be better than never getting it, right? I can't get mad. I'm grateful. And so we just pray that God would so soften their hearts. So it's not that we make a judgment to condemn, but we do make judgments about how to witness, when to witness, who's open, who's receptive, who's not. So that we make the most of our time and we make the most of our efforts in sharing Christ with the world. Amen. Hard stuff, I understand. Pray for God to give us wisdom and discernment as we have conversations with folks. Amen. That God would give people ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts willing to receive, wills to obey. Amen. Let's pray this morning. Father God, this morning we thank you for the truth and the power of your word. God, thank you for allowing us opportunity this morning to just kind of dig into the richness of your word. God, to help us understand maybe some things that were a little misunderstanding. And so God, today help us to be wise. God, you tell us to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. God, may we have that discerning spirit, God. Father, today I pray that hearts have been opened. God, maybe even in this morning, God, there's one who has hardened their heart to you. But God, for whatever reason, today they've heard for the first time. Maybe it was online, sitting in their living room. Maybe it was somebody, you know, listening on the radio, driving down the street or in their home. God, today, the truth and the power of your word has penetrated that hard heart. God, today, they would just give up all that they understand about themselves to all that they understand about Christ Jesus. God, today, we pray. God, we pray earnestly for them today. So, God, today, we just give you praise and glory and honor. We ask you all this in Christ's name. Amen. This morning, God gives us an invitation to come, to hear, to receive. So this morning, if God spoke it into your heart and into your life, today you would trust Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life for the first time. And we want to be able to celebrate that with you. And so we invite you to come. The prayer altars are open this morning. And maybe there's somebody this morning you've talked to and you've witnessed with, and maybe somebody's just been on your heart and your mind this morning. And today, you'd say, Lord, I don't know what to do. Pray. Would you just come and pray for them today? Maybe you want to just come and pray at the altar for them and lift them up to God this morning. Maybe today your church membership is somewhere else, and we would love to have you come and be a part of God's family right here at Trinity, to be a part of God's kingdom work right here in Vicksburg and Warren County. So we invite you to come this morning. We'd love to have you this morning. So Mike's going to come lead us in this hymn of invitation. The Savior is waiting. He's waiting for you today. Don't wait. Come this morning. As we stand and sing, you come.
Cindy, just to keep playing this morning. Would you just bow with me this morning? God's Spirit continues to move. Would you be obedient to Him today? Would you pray for that one? You just say, Lord, I don't know what else to do. God, I'm trying everything. God, this seems like my efforts have been so little. God, I know you can change hearts. You can change the heart. Pray for them this morning. Just a moment. Again, we're so delighted that you've been in God's house this morning, and thankful for just the way you've worshiped and a good day in the house of the Lord. I want to invite you to come back tonight. 5 o'clock, we'll have small groups that will be meeting, and so come find a group to be in. It's always good just to have a conversation and talk about those things of God, and try to help each other, encourage each other, and grow one another. So be back tonight, 5 o'clock, on that as well. Hey, this is my favorite thing to do right now, okay? Can I do it this morning? Come on up here, Olive. Doug, Cassie, y'all come up here with me. Come on up here, buddy. This is Mr. Oliver Love. He comes this morning openly and unashamed and professing Christ to be the Lord of his life. Church, come on up. Being able to sit with him this morning in my office and share a little bit, talk back and forth and answer some questions. I'm telling you, what a great young man. And I'm so excited about what God's doing in his life, what God's done in his life, what he's going to continue to do in his life. Amen? And so listen, it's great. Man, we're thankful for parents and grandparents and pray for the kids and their grandkids. Amen? This is what it's all about. This is where God answers prayers. Amen? So we rejoice this morning. Listen, I want you to know that as your pastor, what a joy and what a privilege to be your pastor. And I want you to feel free to call on me if you have questions or anything you want, all right? I want you to feel free to call. Oh, that is good. Listen, I want you to come by and extend to him the right hand of Christian fellowship. Let him know, hey, this is a babe in Christ. We have a responsibility to help nurture him and grow him in his relationship with Christ. This isn't the end, this is the beginning of his walk with Christ. And so if you'll encourage him, if you'll pray for him, I want you to come by and let him know. Okay? Let's stand this morning, and we're going to read the scriptures. We're going to sing a closing song. We're going to sing.
I stand in awe of him.
Hey, aren't you glad somebody said, hey, let's go to church this morning? Amen? Amen. Hey, how about some grandparents come up here? Y'all want to come up here and stand too? Y'all come on up. Come on up here. All right? Hey, let's sing this morning.